I think of those men that stormed a beach of terror so that we can go and enjoy a beach in peace. And I'm really thankful for a Savior who died upon a cruel cross and stormed the gates of hell so we can enjoy the splendors of heaven. I'm so thankful for men and women who have given their life so that we can have one. Jesus gave his life so that we can have one abundantly. Boy, what an honor that is. To be an American, to be a saved American, to know that Jesus gave his life for us and men and women have given their life so we could sit here right here in freedom and not in fear of our freedom. And so we thank you. If you're active, retired, military, or a spouse of military, would you go ahead and stand? We want to recognize you this morning. If you can go ahead and stand, let's, amen. Amen. For some of you, we have men in our room, in this room right here who have served in Afghanistan and Iraq just recently and have watched their buddies give the ultimate sacrifice. They say some gave some and some gave all. And they've watched their friends. This is a special moment for them, a time of remembrance, a time of sorrow, and a time of grief. And we lift you guys up as well. I know some of you, two of you in this room right now, that have watched your buddies die. And we just want to recognize you. We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for your service, for your country. And we're so thankful for what the Lord's doing. Well, this is part two of a series called Restore My Soul. And I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 4. While you're turning there, I want to introduce to you guys a few people. We have our interns here, our summer missionaries. All right, why don't you guys go ahead and stand up, okay? This is Devin Schellenberger. He's from Canoga Park, California. And he's here. He's a senior, okay? And then this is Xander Hartfield. What? Oh, yeah, you guys got to turn around. All right. This is Xander. Yeah, they're like we just see the back of their head. What are you majoring in?
Secondary education.
Xander is just graduated, and he's a music major. And then this is Joel Dye, D-Y-E, not D-I-E. And I've known Joel since he was 9 years old. I was his children's pastor in Rancho Cucamonga, California. And he's gotten a little bit bigger than me. I'm not sure if I like that. Okay. And then this is Tyler Tran. He's from the terrible state of Hawaii. And he just graduated Bible college, and he's going on to get his master's degree. We have four incredible guys with us all summer to run our children's program, to knock on doors, encourage our church family. Would you guys just welcome them to our service this morning? You guys can be seated. Well, this morning I'm going to talk about restoring my rest. God, restore my rest. Now listen, I'm not talking about people who are restless at night going to bed, although that can be the case. I'm talking about those who have a restless soul. You're worried about things all the time. You just don't feel like you have the peace that God wants to give you, this peace that passeth understanding. In the text that I'm about to read, I want to just share with you what this is about. David is writing this psalm, and a psalm is a song written to music. It's poetry, and David is pouring out his heart to God. And the scenario is this. David is far into his reign as a king. His son Absalom has taken on a lot of the responsibility of his kingship. Whenever there was a problem, Absalom would have people come to him, and he would resolve the issue. And Absalom became so powerful that he wanted to take over for David. Now, this wasn't a democratic republic. This was a monarchy. And in a monarchy, the only way you can take kingship is if you kill the king. The problem with this scenario is that Absalom is the son of the king, and the son wants to kill his father. Could you imagine that? So Absalom, being young, and all the young men of the army really trusted in Absalom more than David. And so Absalom, what he did was he created a coup d'etat. He was going to overtake the throne. And David got word of that. And him and his 300 men of valor left and fled Jerusalem. And they're living in a cave. They're hiding up in the hills, running from his own son. And this is what he writes in Psalms 4. Psalm 4. Look at verse 1. David cries out to God. You can imagine the restlessness in his spirit. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayers. O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? And how long will you love vanity? Vanity just simply means emptiness. And seek after leasing. The word leasing is lies. Lies. And then the word Selah, when these songs were written, Selah means that's the crescendo of the song. That's when you hit the high note. That's when you say, what'd you think about that? Then he goes on to say, verse 3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Verse 4 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? That's what his men were saying in the cave. Is there anybody who's going to show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. More than in the time that their corn and their wine increased, I will both lay me down in what? And what? What's the next word there? Sleep. Now his problems aren't gone. Yet he says, I have peace and I sleep. Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. He says, you give me safety. More of the time when I was in the castle and the guards were walking in the hallways, you give me more safety than those people. David is living in the cave and he has peace. How do we get that? How do we have that? Lord, I pray that you would show us how to have that. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, what a wonderful weekend this is to kind of kick off the summer. Remember those who gave all so that we could have a life here in this country that is a life of freedom and a life of enjoyment. And Lord, thank you for that sacrifice. But Lord, thank you for sacrificing for us so that we could have this peace that we're going to talk about this morning. Thank you for all you've given to us. Lord, we're so blessed. We are so blessed. I pray that we would cast aside the cares of this life right now. Lord, all the barbecues and all the places we need to go, I pray we'd just set aside this 45 minutes right now, the 40 minutes right now, and just think of you. Lord, speak to us, minister to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have a lot of family members. I have twin sisters, if you didn't know that, and they're all married, and they're great guys. I just, when I was in Maryland this week, I drove down to D.C., and I went and saw my brother-in-law, and his name's David Zimmerman, and he works for the government down there, and my sister works for a veterinarian, and I went down there and saw them, and my other sister, Ricky, she's a detective in Phoenix. And she is married to a guy named Patrick. They've been married for a long time. And over the years, Patrick and I have developed this relationship, and it's been really good. But over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of restlessness in his soul. Now, I'm not going to go into detail. They listen to my messages, you know. And that's none of your business what really goes on there. But I want you to know it was very serious. Very serious. Loss of sleep. Loss of weight. He lost a ton of weight just from the stress of these situations. Could barely eat, could barely sleep. A lot of restlessness going on. I'm telling you, when he would just pour out his heart to me, I could just sense the burden upon him. How many of you have ever been there before? How many of you, you've been there, you're just like, it's hard to sleep, it's hard to eat, you're just consumed with this restlessness, with this lack of peace in your life. Has anybody ever been there before? Did you know that God has the answer to that? Now the question isn't, this is not about how to avoid that, this message is about what to do when it comes. What to do when you are restless. Restlessness is a part of the life. It's part of life. You're going to get sick. You're going to have relationship strains. You're going to have financial burdens. These are things that come our way that are unexpected at times. There's circumstances that we didn't bring upon ourselves that God just allowed in our life, a trial of some sort. Can I tell you something? This is not a message on how to avoid it. It's what to do when you have it. And for some of you, that's you right now. Your soul is so restless. You're so worried. You're losing sleep. How do I do this? How do I overcome this? See, Pastor, I don't know if I want to. I want to lose that weight you're talking about, you know? You don't want to lose weight that way, I'm telling you. So I want you to understand, first of all, the reality of distress. The reality of distress. Notice with me in verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in what? Distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Hear me. So we know the situation. We know the scenario that he's in right now. He says, enlarge me. Which implies that he was crushed by the situation. Which implies that there was a lot of pressure placed upon him by his son and the rise up, the coup that was happening in Jerusalem. He was crushed and he's saying, Lord, enlarge me. I'm crushed by the situation. He says the word distressed. Distress simply means oppressed. Pressed down by the enemy, by the pressure of evil. You see, in our passage, we find that David is very discouraged. His relationship with his son is discouraging. His relationship with the throne, he's not even on the throne anymore. His son is taking over, and the country is kind of falling apart. It's imploding. There's a lot of discouragement going on in his heart. Could you imagine what he's going through at this time? And there's some humiliation as well. He says in verse number 2, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? When David speaks of glory, he's saying his position as a king. It's a glorious position, a position that the Bible describes as God's anointed. God anointed David. And every anointed king is a sinner. I hope you guys know that. It's not that he's special. It's just God decided David would be the king. And he was God's anointed. Okay, but they were turning that glory of that position into a shameful one. He says, how long, in verse number 2, will you turn my glory into shame? And how long will you love vanity, emptiness, and seek after leasing? The word leasing means lie. You lie about me. You lie about me. By the way, David is the same guy that when Saul was the king and David knew he was going to take Saul's place as the king. Saul was the first king of Jerusalem or Israel. David was going to take his place because David was a humbler man and Saul was lifted up in pride. So God was going to replace him. But David never thought that he should replace Saul himself. In fact, when Saul was chasing David to kill David because Saul looked at David as a threat to the throne, David just ran, hid in the caves. This was when he was a young boy after killing Goliath. Remember when Saul came into the cave and David was in there, yet Saul didn't know? And David could have killed him, but he didn't. The Bible says that he cut off a little part of his garment. And then David felt bad that he even touched the garment of Saul. I can't believe I touched. That's how sensitive David was to the Spirit. That's how sensitive he was to that anointed position. But his son had disrespect for the position. He was willing to not only kill the king, but his own dad. Could you imagine the stress that David is going through right here? He's humiliated. This situation would make the strongest men and women lose their sleep. I think this situation would trouble the strongest of people today. It would trouble their soul. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Made one recently that troubles me. Even to this day. We had our family life conference and I took the Hamiltons and the Tices and who else did we have? The Wilsons and the staff. We all went to Holland and ate at this place called, it was like this pizza place. And it was Crust 57 or something like that. And it was deep dish Chicago style pizza. Hallelujah. And it was amazing. I love that stuff. I love when it's like the majority of the pizza slice is cheese. How many of you guys like that? It's just cheese and they're cutting the cheese off the slice and you're like, that looks amazing. I could just eat a cheese without the bread. Just eat a cheese with sauce. It's just so good. Well, when we got there, I had my wife and my kids in the car and I dropped them off at the front door. My wife gets out. My two older children get out and my baby's in the back. And I go park the car and I just get out and run into this. I'm like, hey, everybody. I'm telling you, 15 minutes go by. And we're all sitting around the table, and my wife goes, "Where's the baby?" And I was like, you know that feeling like, no. And everybody's freaking out. And I go out there, and you know, I'm expecting her just crying. I'm expecting police and firemen, people out there busting the window open. I open the door. She was just dead asleep, you know. And I get her out. I'm like, oh, you poor. I honestly felt so, so bad. Like, you have no, they just ruined my day. How many of you guys ever had that happen before? Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one who's left their kid in the car. But you know what? You know what? How many of you guys have left your kid in the car? Praise the Lord. Okay, amen. If I was the only one, man, somebody's probably going to call CPS on me, right? Please don't do that. We love our kid. I hope you did. So it just troubled my soul. I got to thinking about that. I'm like, what if we're in Vegas, where we're from, and it was 115, she'd be dead. Oh, I'm telling you, that troubled me so much. I lose sleep at night thinking about my kids. You know, I think about stuff like this. I'll be laying in my bed, and I think somebody's going to open the door to my baby's room and take her and sell her to some, you know, whatever. There's just evil people out there. How many of you guys worry about your kids? You want them to live long. Do you not? You want them to... I worry about those things. I worry about a lot. I worry about the church. I worry about the finances. I worry about whether the summer missionaries are going to be good guys or not. I worry about everything. I worry about a lot. I think everybody in this room has the same thing that I'm going through. And what about distress that's unprovoked? What about distress that's out of your control? What causes us to lose our sleep? Like I said, the kids, the fear of the future, the loss of a loved one. And we have all this distress. There's a lot of them. I posted on Facebook and said, what causes you to lose sleep? And I had like 80 responses to it. There's a lot of things that make us lose our sleep. Am I right? Now listen, living between the regret of the past and the fear of the future is a terrible neighborhood to live in. And what God wants you to do is move out of the regret of the past and the fear of the future and move in with Him. In fact, the Bible says in John 15, 4 through 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Okay? No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? Let's say that phrase together. For without me, you can do nothing. Let's say it together again. For without me, ye can do nothing. In other words, God is saying, you can't have peace without me. You can't have rest without me. Isn't that what David's saying here in Psalms 4? Only you give me rest. Only you put gladness in my heart more than the time of the wine and the corn was increased. It's you that does that. So you have to move out of the neighborhood of fear of the future, regret of the past, and say, Lord, I'm going to abide with you. In other words, it means to make God your home. You dwell with Him. You sup with Him. You give that to Him. But the fact of the matter is, there is a reality to our distress, is there not? And I can sit here for the next hour and talk about one example after another example of what causes us to lose sleep. But I want you to understand, how are we to respond to that distress? What does David do to respond to this anxiety, this restlessness in his soul? I want you to see, you have to reach out to Christ. This is how you respond to distress. It's right there in your notes. Reach out to Christ. Okay? You got to reach out to Him. In this backpack. This is pretty heavy though, because I got a lot of stress in here. A lot of things that cause us to lose sleep. Like fear. Okay? We have a lot of things we fear. By the way, most of the things that we fear are things that will never happen. And sometimes they do, but I want to teach you how to respond to it. Sometimes we fear finances, man. We're living paycheck to paycheck and we're afraid of losing our job. And that could be a great fear, can it not? How about stressful situations, huh? Boy, that could really make us lose sleep. How many guys know the world is just full of stress? That's what it is. And another one, guilt, man. When you sin, you guys realize the end of the sin is guilt you have to carry around. People try to to suppress their guilt and numb their guilt through drugs and alcohol and relationships. And I'm telling you, it's just a nasty cycle. And then family can cause stress, right? Isn't that right? And these are all burdens. And here's what we do. We pack them into our soul. This family, and I got this guilt that I'm carrying around, and I got this stress that I got, and it's just, finances are just so unbelievable. I'm glad we're coming out of the recession, though. I'm telling you what, and the fear, all the fear, I just don't know what's going to happen in the future, and I'm worried about our country, and I'm worried about so many things. And then here's what we do. We go about our day carrying all of our stress. And we put this thing on and we go to our workplaces like this. And people are like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. And we lie to ourselves. I'm good. And we're carrying around. And if you carry this long enough, you're going to faint. You're going to quit. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. You know what the next verse says? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Joel, come on up here. Come here, dude. Come on up here. All right, so what do? We got the stress, right? We're carrying it around. Do you think you're going to finish your course? You're going to have a good marriage? Do you think you're going to be a happy person if you're carrying this stuff around all the time?
No.
You're not. Listen, look right here. You are not. Now, what I'm not talking about is how do you lose this? This is just part of life, is it not? As a Christian, how do we respond? We give it to Joel. We're going to pretend he's Jesus. He's a good-looking young Jesus, is he not? And this is what we do, okay? We reach out to Christ. In fact, in verse number 1, it says, hear me when I call, O God. Isn't that what it says? I'm reaching out to you. I'm calling you. In verse 3, it says, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Isn't that what it says? I'm reaching out. It says in verse 5, put your trust in the Lord. I'm reaching out to him. Even Jesus says, call unto me. He says, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Doesn't God want us to reach out to him? He says, are you burdened, heavy laden? He said, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. God wants you to call out to him. He wants you to reach out to him. He wants you to take all of those burdens and give them to Christ. Now, the fact of the matter is the burdens aren't gone, are they? They're still there, but who has them? Who's carrying them? Whose shoulders are bigger than yours? Right? That's what he wants us to do. Call unto him. It's simply looking upon Christ and giving your burdens to him. That's what you're doing. Thank you so much. You can be seated, man. You did a great job. You're a good Jesus. We give our burdens to him. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? It means this. When you have a burden, you say, Jesus, I can't handle this on my own. I need to give this to you. I'm giving this to you. So what does that mean? Like, how is this possible? How do I do this? Well, David lists some things that we're tempted to reach out to other than Jesus. Right here in Psalms 4. And I'm going to explain to you what happens when we give it to Jesus. What does he give us in return? I want to point out some things that we are tempted to reach out to other than God. The first one is people. Look in verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? You know what David's men were saying? Is there just a person out there who's going to show us any good? You know who they're looking to restore their peace and their restless heart? Was people. But notice David, what he says, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Isn't that what he says? So David's not looking to people. David says, I'm looking to God. It's so easy for us to have this burden right here and carry this around and then try to hand it to another person. Let me tell you something. Another person is not God. And their shoulders are just as weak as yours. In fact, they're carrying their own burdens, and then you give them yours, and you think they're going to carry that? Why do you think I point people to Jesus? I can't solve all your problems. I can just point you to the one who can. You can't look to people to carry all this stuff. Your spouse can't handle it. There's got to be a moment in your life where you really, as a spouse, call out to God and say, God, would you take this from me? So you're not constantly burdening down your... Now, that doesn't mean that your spouse doesn't help you and counsel you and pray with you and love you through those things. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you can't look to people to solve all your problems. You guys with me? Number two, David says there's products that people look to when they're stressed. Look in verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. What David is saying is, God, you're more satisfying than all the products of this world. All the corn that somebody could ever eat, all the wine somebody could ever drink, Lord, you're more satisfying. You put gladness in my heart more than the bumper crop. Oh, there'd be celebration in Jerusalem after a big crop. It would yield a bumper crop, and there'd be all this fruit, and people would rejoice and dance in the streets, and they're all glad and happy, and they would party. And God, David says, you put more gladness in my heart than any of those times. That's what he's saying. You can't look for a good economy to finally relieve your stress. You don't have to wait for that. You can have it right now. Amen. Right now. You don't have to wait for a product. You don't have to wait for some. People today trust in materialism. They trust in things to relieve their stress, and you'll never find it. He also says, don't look to places. Look in verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. He says, I'm in a cave, I have no bed, I have no, and I'm laying on the ground, and you're saying, David is saying, Lord, you make me sleep. You're the one who gives me peace. It's not a place that gives you peace. It's not the type of bed that gives you great sleep. It's the closeness of Jesus Christ in your life. And Tempur-Pedic and Sleep Number are not going to give you the kind of peace that Jesus Christ can give you and the sleep that Jesus can give you. It's not about the place. It's the who. It's the person. Who is this person? And how do I know I've given my burden to God? How do I know I've given my burden to God? Okay? So we talked about taking our burdens and handing it to God. Well, how do I know if I truly have done that? Number one, you're not angry at God or others. You're not angry at God or others. Look in verse number 4. Look what it says. Stand in awe and what? Sin not. Right? The Bible says be angry and sin not. The Bible says here, it says stand in awe and sin not. Isn't that what it says? You know you've given your burden to Christ, that when you're carrying that burden, you're not angry at God and you're not sinning against others. You're not angry at Jesus. I want you to think about this. What happened to Moses when he had that burden of all the people, 2 million complaining people? And he'd cry out to God all the time, God, all these people do is complain. All they do is whine and gripe. That's all they do. And the burden of trying to take care of these people and lead them out. Let me ask you this. Did Moses at times get angry? Yeah. Did he? Absolutely. Don't be angry at God or others. What about Peter when the pressure of Jesus being taken away at the garden, did he get angry? Oh, yeah, he got angry. You see examples in the scriptures of people who responded incorrectly. You know you've given your burden to God when you're not angry. And number two, you don't respond with sin. You don't respond with sin. It says, stand in awe, sin not. Isn't that what it says? You don't respond in sin. Now, when Moses got upset and the pressure was placed upon him, what did he do? He struck the rock. Something God told him not to do, to bring the water out of the rock. He struck it with the rock, which, by the way, the consequences of that was that he could never go into the promised land because of it. By the way, do you guys know there's consequences to sin? Okay? And so he responded. He was so burdened down with the complaining of the people, he finally got so mad, so angry at them, that he struck the rock. He says, ah! Remember Peter? He got so upset that they're going to take Jesus, and he took out his sword and tried to cut off Malchus's head. Missed and cut off his ear. You see Jesus coming down and picking up the ear and placing it on Malchus's head. Now, by the way, if I ever saw that as one of the soldiers, I'd be like, I'm with that guy. How many guys would be like, I'm with Jesus. He just restored his ear. That's crazy. You don't respond in sin. You think about Jesus when he was beaten. They put a bag on his head and hit him in the face and said, if you're God, who hit you? They plucked out his beard. They nailed him to a cross. And what was his response? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, one of the deacons you find in Acts chapter 6, he was preaching Jesus. And Paul, the apostle, when he was Saul, led a group to stone him to death. And when they were ticking up stones, and Peter's right there in the middle, and they're throwing stones at him, the Bible says his face shone as it was like an angel. And he looked at him and said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember when Paul and Silas were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel? And boy, they're chained up to a wall, naked, cold, and afraid. Not like the show, okay? And the pressure is placed on them. How'd they respond? The Bible says at midnight they sing praises unto God. You know you've given your burden to Christ when you're not angry and you don't sin. Number three, how do I know I've given my burden to God? You're in awe of God, not your burden. You're in awe of God and not your burden. What it means to be in awe, it means to tremble, to quake. You're more in awe of God than you are this. The reason why people are so stressed out and burdened is because they're so concentrated, so focused upon the problem and not the problem solver. Okay, now think about David and Goliath. David, 17-year-old little boy that nobody thought would amount to much. He was just a shepherd boy. When Goliath of Gath came to defy the armies of the living God, what did the children of Israel focus on more? Goliath or God? Goliath. You read the scriptures and it says they knew how tall he was. They knew how much his armor weighed. They knew how big his shield was and his sword. They measured it all. They're in awe. They knew every detail of the problem. Every detail of the problem. And knew very little detail of God. Do you know why David defeated Goliath? It wasn't because he was stronger. It wasn't because he was smarter. It's because David's focus was on Jesus Christ. It was on God, not Goliath. He says, you come in here with swords and staves, but I come in the name of the living God. Isn't that what he says? I don't care who you are. You don't defy my God. And guess what David did? Put a little smooth stone in a sling and swung it round and round and round and round and sunk that stone in his head. And David fell over. Goliath fell over. And David ran, took out that big sword. I don't know if he could lift it very well. You can just imagine, boy. No, he was strong. He killed a lion and a bear with his own hands. Picked up that sword and cut off his head. I know this is pretty gruesome, but that's what the Bible says. He cut off his head and then grabbed his hair and held up his head. By the way, when your head falls off, that's kind of a hard injury to come back from. Just saying. Defeated the giant. You can defeat the stress, the fear, all the burdens that you carry. You can defeat that when your focus is upon God more than the problem. You see, you know every detail about your financial issue. You know every detail about your relationship strain. You know every detail about the stress that you carry. But do you know the details about God? Do you know what He can do? Do you know that He gives peace that passeth all understanding? Do you guys see where I'm going with this? Don't know every detail about this. Know every detail about your God. Focus on Him. The point is this. When you've given it to God, your focus is on God, not the problem. So you're in awe of God. Stand in awe. Sin not. It's on God. Number four, you can give it to God and be still. Isn't that what it says in verse 4? Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be what? Isn't that what it says? You can give it to God and be still. You know what it says, commune with your own heart? It means to talk to yourself. So you've given it to God. You've taken these burdens. You hand it to Him. You hand it to Him. Then you lay back down on your bed and you be still. You commune with your own heart upon your bed. That means talk to yourself. And some people think, well, talking to yourself, that's like what crazy people do. You know what happens when a lot of people are stressed out? Instead of talking to themselves and saying, Lord, this burden is yours. Thank you for giving me peace. And talking to yourself through that. How'd you get saved? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You have to talk. You have to say out loud, commune with your own heart upon your bed and say, Lord, would you take this burden? Would you take this problem? But sadly, when we're stressed out, we drown out the stress with music, with TV, with Netflix. You say, I just want some peace right now, so I'm going to watch my show. I'm all stressed out, so I just need a little downtime. I need a little decompression right now. And instead of talking to yourself, we drown out our soul with entertainment. So we've never really given our problem to God. We just numbed our problems with a little bit of time. I know you don't drink and smoke and chew and go with girls that do, but we haven't really given it to God. If you can commune with your own heart, you're doing pretty good. A lot of people can't actually talk to themselves. They can't live with themselves. And the reason why is because they're so stressed out. Can you give it to God? And then it says this, remain still. Isn't that what it says? It says, let's see here. It says in verse number 4, it says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be what? To be still means to be silent, to wait, to be quiet. Now here's the problem we make. Joel, come on up here. Here's the big mistake we make, okay? We cast our stress on him, right? And then we step back and we're supposed to talk to God, say, God, thank you for taking my burdens. Lord, I give them to you. And Lord, would you give me your peace? Would you give me your comfort? That's what I'm talking about talking to yourself about, okay? You talk to God and you talk to yourself. The problem we make is this. We give it to God and then we stand back and say, well, what are you going to do? Right? And we stress out about God not being quick enough to be just. Say, God, you're not destroying that guy yet. Why aren't you taking care of him? God's like, look, I'll do that in my time. You just give my burdens to me. That's all I want you to do. Right? And we give our problems to God. Say, God, I don't think you're handling it fast enough. And I don't think you're handling it the way I would handle it. God's like, who are you? Who are you? You're a worm. I'm God. I know everything. I see the past, present, and future all at the same time. I know everything. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave that created the universe dwells in you. You can trust God with your problems. Right. If me being evil know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more does my Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to me? And if I know how to relieve the burden of my child, how much more does my Heavenly Father know how to relieve the burden of mine? I give it to him, but sometimes we don't think he's just enough or we don't think he's good enough. But the fact of the matter is in verse number 1, he says, God of my righteousness. Isn't that what it says? It says, hear me when I call, oh God, that God of my righteousness. What David was convinced of was that God was righteous in the situation. He might not handle it the way you would. He might not punish that person the way you would want to punish them. And he may not take care of the stress in the time that you want it to be taken care of, or the problem to go away, the time you want it to go away. But can I tell you something about God? God is righteous in his dealings. God is righteous in his ways. You can give it to God and know that God's going to do the right thing. That's what I'm saying. Look right here. As your pastor, I want you to know, when you give it to God, he will always do the right thing. And then the right time. Can I get an amen on that one? Okay. God will do right in every situation. Thanks, Joel. You can go sit down. Man, was that heavy? Is that getting heavy for you? It's not bad. Okay, good. And another way you know you've given it to God is you're happy, full of peace, and you have sleep. Your sleep is sweet. You're happy, you're full of peace, and your sleep is sweet. Now, how many of you guys want a good night's sleep? You guys want that? How many of you guys want to live with a restless soul habitually? How many of you guys want to have that? I don't. God says you don't have to worry about that. See, when you cast your distress upon Christ, it does not mean your problems are gone. It means this. All you're left with is Christ. This is the best part of the message. So I've given it to God, right? I've put it in his arms. I stand still, say, you know what, God, you're going to do right in this situation. I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to stress about it. I'm not going to worry about it because you've taken care of it. And God has it, right? But let's say he doesn't take it away. Well, now what are we going to do? Well, all you're left with now is what? God. And what God is trying to say to you is that He is enough for your peace. Peace and sweet sleep is not the absence of your problem. It's the presence of God. Amen. That's what it is. God is trying to say to you, I place this in your life so you can give it to me and so that you can rejoice in what I have to give to you. So what does God give to us in exchange for our burdens? Peace. Sleep. Rest. He says, I'm your rest, not the absence of your problem. I'm your peace, not the absence of your problem. I'm your joy and happiness. Only you, Lord, made me happy more than all the celebrations this world has to offer. It's God, my friend. Oh my word, this is awesome. So He is our peace. He's our security. He's our happiness. That's what it is. God gives us peace and rest in exchange for what we give to Him. Boy, what a good exchange that is. We cast our burden on Him. He's like, here, I'll give you something great. Isn't that crazy? You know, if I had a little penny in my pocket and I gave that to God, God gives us a dollar bill back. Now, how many believe God can give you peace that passeth all understanding? How many of you guys believe that? Right? How many of you guys believe God, when you do give your burdens to God, how many of you guys know that God is just in all His dealings, but He sometimes may take the whole thing away, which is great, restore the relationship, give you financial freedom, whatever it is. But sometimes He doesn't, and He's saying, I'm enough. Sometimes God lets the storm rage, and sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes God lets the storm rage, and He calms His child. Either way, you can have peace. Remember my brother-in-law, Patrick? Well, he got saved about 5 months ago. Remember all the time he's burdened down by all these things about life, about relationships, he's just so burdened down. Raised a Roman Catholic in Detroit, Michigan. Went to Catholic high school, became a cop. And the whole world is just crashing down on his shoulders, and he got saved 5 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago. It's just amazing. I got the text from my sister, Patrick got saved. And man, he's in Bible study Wednesday nights, and he's in church Sunday morning, Sunday night. And this guy, he sent me a text recently. This is what it says. He said, I can't believe how my life has changed. You know, I get choked up about this stuff, you know? I can't believe how my life has changed since I got saved. Changed some things in my life. God's grace, what He's given me in exchange for what I gave to Him, is really shining on me and my family. How's your day? I was like, my day is going good, man. These aren't allergies, man. This is... Oh, I told my wife I need a hanky because my allergies are really acting up right now. Anybody else? But I'll tell you what, like stuff like this just rejoices my heart, you know. So, I guess the question, what's that, Chuck?
God squeezes your heart with tears.
That's right, He does squeeze my heart. So let me ask you this. How many of you guys have stress today? How many of you guys have burdens? Restless heart. Anybody like that? Let me ask you this. Does God want you to give it to Him?
Yes.
Don't ever tell yourself, oh, He didn't want my problems. He does. Because
right.
He wants you to have peace. He wants you to be happy. But can you trust Him with this and know that He's going to do right with it? He may take it away, but the promise is that He'll give you peace and rest and happiness.
Amen.
Do you trust Him to do that? I want to give you 3 action steps you can take home with you right now. Number one, reach out to God. So what do I do? Reach out to God. It could be coming to this altar, reaching out to Him. It could be this week saying, laying those burdens that you have, the things that causes you stress, give it to Him. I'm not saying that you will never have them. I'm saying when you have them, reach out to God. That should be your first response. God, this is yours. When your heart's overwhelmed, cling to the rock that's higher than you. Reach out to God. Reach out to Him. Don't reach out to people. Don't reach out to products. Reach out to God. Reach out to Him. Number two, leave it with God. Don't take it back. Just leave it with Him and commune with your own heart upon your bed and just sleep. Just rest. Rest in Him. Number three, rest in Him. Leave it with God. And then number three, rest in Him. Rest in Jesus Christ. You see, He's the one that gives peace that passeth all understanding. He's the one that gives happy. Rest in Him. Rest in that relationship, that intimacy with God. Do you know what intimacy is? Intimacy is this. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. You and I. Isn't that the song? Isn't that a Christian song? That's all it is, just the two of you. And sometimes God will bring a burden to your life so that He can just have the two of you. Because you wouldn't go to Him any other way. You can rest in Him. And then number four, this is the greatest part. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you could receive Him as your Savior. The question is this. If you were to die today, do you know 100% for sure, 100% that heaven's your home, that your sins are forgiven? If you don't know that for sure, you can call upon Christ and Jesus will save you right where you're at. You can be saved.
That's right.
So you have some decisions to make this week. What are you going to do with those burdens? The Bible says, cast them on Him. He'll give you in exchange peace and happiness. Lord, I pray that You would help us today to realize that You want what's best for us, Lord. You want to take those burdens. You want to take our sin upon You. Lord, we don't deserve that, but You want us to. And so, Lord, we give our sin to You. Lord, we give our burdens to You. Lord, all the stress that we have in our life, we give them to You. Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for the men and women of our country who have taken on the burden of fighting in these wars so that we could have the freedom in America that we enjoy. Lord, thank You for dying on the cross and sacrificing Your life so we could have freedom in heaven. We could have freedom from sin and freedom from carrying these burdens around. And Lord, I pray if somebody here doesn't know You as their Savior, I pray they give their sin to You, and I pray that they would call upon You as their personal Lord and Savior.